Hello and welcome. This is Couples Counseling for Parents, a show about couple relationships, how they work, why they don't, what you can do to fix what's broken.
Here are our parents.
Our dad, Dr. Stephen Mitchell, and our mom, Erin Mitchell.
Hello, and thanks for joining us today on Couples Counseling for Parents. I'm Dr. Stephen Mitchell.
I'm Erin Mitchell.
And on today's show, we want to address a question that we get all the time from couples, which is, what do we do when our relationship feels one-sided?
So I think this question is so important because I think most, if not very, very many couples experience this at some point along their couple relationship.
The feeling that the relationship's one-sided.
Yes.
And
I think that this can be one of those like ongoing perpetual problems, but I also think this can be sort of situational.
Okay. So there's a ton of good terms that you just introduced in there. Situational problems, perpetual problems. What, maybe it would be helpful. So this is what we mean by when one partner feels like the relationship is one-sided. And it might look something like this. A couple comes in and they say, Stephen and Erin, we are struggling. Our relationship is taking a nosedive because let's say Erin comes in and she says, I feel like the relationship is one-sided. I feel like I do everything and Stephen doesn't do anything. And then what Erin might proceed to say is, I take care of the kids. I take care of the house. I go to work. I plan our social calendar. I do
everything.
Everything. And there's a really long list. And then Stephen hears that and he obviously offers the rebuttal of, you don't do everything. I do a lot. And then I start listing off the things that I do. I take care of the kids. I go to work. I take care of the maintenance on the house. I do our finances. I blah, 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 blah. And what happens is there's this instant cycle of criticism and defense. There's one partner, the I'm doing everything partner, and then there's this other partner who's characterized as the do-nothing partner. And it just goes back and forth, back and forth. Would that be an accurate?
I think that is one very accurate way that this is felt. I think another, accurate way this is felt is by the couple that's like, we're both pulling our weight.
Sure.
Everyone's doing something. You're doing your thing. I'm doing my thing.
Yep.
But there's really nothing between us. And I'm the only one that feels like, I feel like I'm the only one trying. Or like, I'm like, hey, maybe we should do this or that.
Maybe we should go to therapy together. Maybe we should read this book together or initiating.
Like, I miss you. Nothing really seems to be coming back from the other side. I think that is another very common way things feel one-sided.
And I think I would kind of characterize those as there's maybe one who's kind of saying the task or the division of labor within the household feels one-sided, and then there might be another explanation of sort of the emotional weight of the relationship feels one-sided, where I feel like I'm the one initiating connection, emotional conversations, maybe even intimacy. I'm the one who's monitoring, like, how are we doing, trying to take that temperature and then trying to, like, help our relationship grow. And then, sometimes that's a combination of both. The person who feels like they're doing
those can have crossover. I don't think, though, that they necessarily do.
Right. Yeah. Right. 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 And so that is kind of how that scenario sounds. And then you said, I think that these conversations can come up as situational problems or perpetual problems. Those are concepts from our I was going to say our good friend, but they're not our good friend. I don't know why I was
from
saying
people
that.
People we respect.
Yes, from the well-known relationship researchers that we have no relationship with, the Gottmans. And they talk about that. What do you want to define what those?
No, I don't. I feel like
you want me.
Yes.
It's not that you don't want to define them. You just don't want to be the one.
It's not
that
I don't want them defined. I would like for you to define them.
Okay. Because you think I would interrupt you.
I do.
As you, man, I hate to say, I think you're right.
Yes.
History
says I am.
I know. The Gottmans describe conflict or problems in terms of situational things or perpetual problems. So a situational problem might be we're having a conflict around a particular decision or a particular stage of our life. We're arguing about finances right now, or we are arguing about whether we should move, or we're arguing about a tough dynamic or relationship. It's kind of a situational thing. A perpetual conflict generally relates to conflicts that are related to your personality, to your attachment patterns, to sort of deeper seated qualities of who we are as human beings that aren't going to change necessarily. They're going to change, but they're never going to disappear. Let's put it that way. Because our attachment styles can become more, or patterns can become more secure, and those kinds of things. But there's still like things in our relationship that are just going to be there because that's who we are. So like a perpetual.
And you learn how to address them. It's not like, oh, we just have to accept them and pretend they aren't there. But
you learn how to talk about them.
I just interrupted you.
That's okay. I'm fine with it. I know I interrupt you. So, it's kind of like.
See, there you go.
Yeah, that's what you get.
Gotcha.
But it's kind of like, so I'm more avoidantly or dismissively attached. That can change, but also I'm going to have a trend throughout our whole relationship of being avoidantly and dismissively attached. And that's going to create particular conflicts that we just have to learn how to navigate and work through in an effective way.
Yes. So what I was meaning when I said that, great job. Well done.
Thank you.
I like your definition. Yes. I think a lot of times, we are talking, I think, perhaps some of you are not parents and you're sort of wondering about this whole world, or you just are interested in growing your relationship. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times I think the couples listening to this, the couples we are interacting with, are parents. And I think that parenting is one of those contexts that can feel like we just got to make it through this season. Or like I'm thinking about us, honestly. So
right.
We've been
what
talking about
thinking?
This question. Well, and I think this happens so often when a couple has a kid. There's this idea of like, hey, this probably 18 months is going to be tough. Mm-hmm. We're both learning a lot. We're both not sleeping enough. We're both probably pretty overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Trying to find ourselves, learn this routine, find a family rhythm, like all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the way we do that is both a perpetual problem and a situational problem. So I think that like some of the ways you get through stress is you get through stress.
Right.
You like do the stress. Like we got to wake
lock
up.
It, yeah. Lock it down, withdraw a little bit, just start doing stuff.
Yeah. Task. Because stuff has to get done. Mm-hmm. I can do it. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in stress, I'm like, hey, if we have to do this really hard, stressful thing, like let's make sure we're in this together. And like, let's make sure we're talking about, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm kind of saying it in a sing-songy voice. But but I'm like, let's slow it down. Let's make sure we're like together on every step and do this thing together. And those two things aren't immediately compatible.
Well, this is where they can feel one-sided, right? Where you feel like in the midst of this challenging time, I'm sitting here taking care of the emotional part of the relationship.
Aaron's checking
in. Let's stay connected. Let's talk about how we're feeling about what's happening. And then I can feel like I'm taking care of like the logistics side of things. Like, look, I'm getting the stuff done.
Yes.
And then,
I'm not sitting here not trying to take care of us, to be present, to like, I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to get us to this destination where we can come back and reconnect.
Right.
And I think a lot of times couples in that context both feel like the relationship is one-sided.
Exactly.
I don't think they know they feel like that But I do think once we have this conversation, probably like two or three conversations in, turns out both partners are feeling like, I am doing my best with what I know how to do and how to do it. Because when couples approach this, they're not like, hey, I'm going to be really task oriented and I'm going to get a bunch of stuff done. And in 18 months, I'll check back in. Like, that's not how it, no one knows that's what they're doing. It's just what they've learned and adopted to doing. But don't you think it's like two or three conversations in or so?
Yeah.
Or not even that long always, but like.
And then I think how that, the kind of the.
Aaron?
The gripe between the two is, so like Steven's gripe would be, Aaron isn't helping me. She's not doing, like she's saying it's a one-sided relationship. She's doing everything, but she's not like doing like all the tasks. And your gripe towards Steven might be like, hey, you're not doing anything to help tend to the relationship in the midst of this stress. Does that make, like, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I'm stuck on the word gripe.
Oh, let's use a different word.
You just mean like conflict or hurt or what?
Yeah, like the sticking point. The thing that the partner, the energy, the negative energy we're feeling between each other is, I'm like, oh, you know, Aaron's not doing anything to like help. If this is so one-sided, and you're like, oh, Steven's not doing anything to help in the midst of this stress, this is so one-sided.
But I think that's probably true. I think the way I would say it, which may be exactly the same, but just my own language, it's hard for me to know. But
Use your own language. Go ahead.
I think the way that I hear the Stevens say it, or at least the way I've interpreted what you say, is that I am tired of being characterized as not being a part of this relationship.
Being told I'm not doing it.
Yeah, doing like, or that I don't care about us, or that I'm not working to connect with you or take care of us, or that you're in this alone, that like, I can't understand how you could possibly feel like this is a one-sided relationship when I feel like I wake up and every breath of my day is for our family.
Yeah. Like all I feel like I'm doing is caring for the family by all the stuff I'm doing.
Yes. Yeah. Now, am I offering presence and engagement? I think
absolutely not.
No, but I think that they can't acknowledge that until they feel like they're acknowledged and like, you do see what I am doing, right?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I mean, because we have had this conversation, and I think for myself,
just once, one time. Remember
and
that
we,
time,
and we worked through it, and you know what? It's been great ever since. No, but I think yes, we've had this conversation a lot, and I think for myself, in that stressed place of like constantly being focused on the task and things like that. Like, I'm actually not aware that I'm disengaged or that I'm not involved.
But I didn't know that initially.
Oh, yeah. And I don't say that as an excuse either. Saying like, yeah.
Yes. But I think that is why knowing it's a perpetual problem is helpful.
Right.
Because that is what you are going to do in stress.
Yeah.
So we will have to, at each age and stage of our family's development, have this conversation again, because I will have to say, we've lost you.
Well, and then from,
I think the opposite gripe, is that what you were going to say?
Well, yeah, I just think from my end, I think, so when you are taking care of our relationship by checking in and wanting to have some of those more like emotional and just communicative and general like human interaction kind of check-ins, like, let's talk about this, like, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Whereas I'm sort of locked into just doing stuff. I think initially, but because I didn't understand that that's your way of like dealing with your stress and then also checking. And it's really useful. We really need you. Like that's a really useful thing.
I think this is important. Both are really useful.
Right.
Both. Yeah. There isn't a bad way here. Right. It's just being able to know and make some choices and not just react.
Well, and to perceive one another's care.
Yes.
And the right, like, because I would perceive that as kind of a miss or like an interruption or like, that's not important right now. Like, we can't get, like, that's not going to help us get through whatever it is we're trying to get through. but then also recognizing, oh no, like, no, it really will. Like, we need both of these things, and me just appreciating and accepting that influence from you and that.
Yes. I think the opposite gripe, hurt area of whatever concern is from the Aaron side of mm-hmm. being like, I'm not trying to say you're doing nothing, except I think sometimes Aaron has said what you're doing isn't what I right. need, isn't it. I think it can be dismissive. Mm-hmm. I know mm-hmm. I have been dismissive of those things in the past right. From a hurt place, which again isn't an excuse. That is the explanation of why I dismiss or minimize right. what you are doing, because I feel like, well, great, we're going to arrive 18 months later, the most well-prepared people, but pretty much feeling disconnected yeah. and like we don't yeah. know each other at all.
And I think that that's my dismissive part, is to say none of that stuff's important.
Yeah.
Like, what's important is just to get this stuff done. And like, that's how we end up, like, you end up missing
but I think,
one another.
And I think this is why nervous systems matter, because I don't think either of us is actually trying to say what the other one's doing doesn't matter. But mm-hmm. but how we are perceiving what the other one is doing is threatening, because yeah. I'm saying, I don't want to just make it there. I'd like to feel like we think this is a special connective time.
Sure.
And I think you're saying we can't just sit around and like coo at a baby. Like,
right,
we have to like make sure there's
that is good too.
I mean, whatever. I'm
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. There's plenty of that. But like,
Steven
also
doesn't like babies.
We have to like put, you know, the electricity things in there. The house has to be baby proofed because right. this little person's going to be moving soon, and they yeah. can't be sticking their finger in an outlet. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm grasping at examples here, but mm-hmm. that's sort of the idea of like, there are some things that need to be done to care for this human, including mm. going to work,
right?
Paying our bills.
Well, and I think that there is a reality where oftentimes in the conversation where when someone's saying the relationship feels one-sided, I think the underlying thing is both partners are not feeling appreciated and understood and seen and valued for what they're doing. I do think like fundamentally there's a situation where there probably is inequity where maybe one partner, you know, maybe the partner is carrying all of the task load and all of the emotional load. Like there is an inequity there. Like that should be addressed.
Well, it has to be, because no emotional equity is going to be enough if it feels like there isn't an equitable division. Like if I'm right. carrying all the tasks, but you're checking on me.
Right.
That doesn't feel loving either.
Well, and I think that where couples get stuck is they get stuck on not valuing one another. And if you can value one another and say, look, I'm not trying to say you're not doing anything and that what you're doing isn't important. It is. If you can get to that place, then you can have the other conversation, if there is an inequity, about like, so how do we balance this? Because I do feel that there's an inequity. And so I think that that's
inequity
important.
Also doesn't have to mean 50-50. I think one of my favorite conversations I've been hearing a lot lately in the relationship world is relationships aren't 50-50 all the time.
No.
But they have to be agreed upon at whatever.
The 60-40 has to be an agreement.
The person carrying the 40 at that time has to be willing to acknowledge like, hey, you do have 40 mm-hmm. or 60% of – you are carrying 60% of our family right now. I see it. I know it. And this is what I'm going to be able to check back in for whatever reasons. And, and if that's not shared and agreed upon and sort of time stamped for how long I'm willing to do this mm-hmm. – it won't work. It can't work.
Right. Because I think that's really true. I think relationships, it's interesting. We talk about this a lot in terms of grief. But I think it's just a lot in terms of life. They're not always balanced. You know, when a couple is grieving the same kind of loss, you know, whether it's a pregnancy loss or the death of a loved one
or
the loss of a job or moving and the loss of a community, whatever it might be, you're both grieving and it's hard to do that at the same time. And you, And undoubtedly,
at the same time, in exactly the same ways.
Right, right. And so mm-hmm. sometimes in grief, what it feels like is one partner is like really steeped in their grief, and the other partner is just kind of sitting there doing all the other stuff, trying to, you know, live life,
function, keep things moving.
And then they flip flop. That partner who was steeped in their grief goes to functioning. The other partner gets steeped in their grief, and in that way, I think it's easier to maybe understand that a little bit in terms of grief. But I think that that's true in life. Too, in the day-to-day, there are those imbalances, and it can feel one-sided, and you need to be able to talk about them. You need to be able to acknowledge them. You need to be able to value one another's contribution. And then, as you said, if there is an inequity, you need to agree upon, like, we're okay with this for this period of time, or we're not okay with this, and these are the things that we need to do to shift it. And so I think yeah, that's
so
crucial.
I think one of the like next questions, like I can almost hear it being asked, is so what do we do? Like mm-hmm. I do feel like our relationship is one-sided, or yeah. our relationship is. It doesn't yeah. have to be. I'm not trying to like minimize the reality by saying like it feels this way. But yeah. my suggestion, I think, I'm curious what yours would be.
I agree.
If it does feel like I'm in a one-sided relationship, to be able to say that in a way that is an invitation and not an accusation. Ooh, like
yeah, or an attack.
Yeah.
Accusation, attack.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
It is. Yes,
but
it
yeah,
is, so. I think attack, though, carries with it some of the – it describes the level of defensiveness that is returned.
Sure.
But
it also, I think, yeah. if there is an attack, it describes the level of hurt that is Ooh. Trying to be addressed, right? Ooh. Like, which neither one excuse
right.
the defense or the attack. But like, if there's attack and defense, it's because it's important. And mm-hmm. there's something that mm-hmm. really, really matters trying to be addressed that
yeah.
likely won't be heard because
yeah, yeah.
of the system. But
yeah.
But I think
so.
The feeling of this feels one-sided.
Like, how do you say, like, so you're saying like how... You have to bring it up in a way that is an invitation.
I mean, it can be as simple as, hey, Aaron and Steven, they were talking about this. They're sort of put out in the world that if one partner's feeling like things are one-sided, maybe both partners mm-hmm. are feeling like this. Like, are you feeling that?
Yeah.
And if not.
Throw us under the bus.
Yeah, well, we'll take that. But like, how did we get here? Like,
yeah.
I think there are just some really gentle ways to approach this where you can get to the hurt places rather than leading with the anger, because both are probably yeah. present.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good to feel alone in your relationship.
Yeah. Well, I think it's even just saying like, hey, there's something really important I want to talk to you about. And like, I want to understand how you think and feel about this. And I want to be able to express to you how I think and feel about this. It might feel like a hard topic when I, you know, bring it up, but like, I really want to like work together on this.
Yeah.
I'm feeling
we arrived here
like,
together. Could we get yeah, out of here together?
Yeah. And even sometimes just forecasting the conversation can help.
Sometimes forecasting helps. Sometimes for couples that have a history of conversations not going well, I think forecasting can forecast on the other side.
Oh,
but
no.
I think that you have to know, yeah. I mean, that's we don't know where you are,
yeah.
but yeah, I think that there has to be a shared mm-hmm. accountability for how we've arrived in this place. That's the only way we can share accountability and like, so what's the plan? How
yeah.
do we want to get out of this? How can we meet each other? And very likely it has to do with being able to validate mm-hmm. what the other person has been trying to do, even mm-hmm. if it's misses. I mean, so often the ways we try to care for our partner don't feel caring
right.
to our partner.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they haven't tried.
That's right. And even to value what your partner has done and to accept what they've done, even if there is an inequity, like doesn't
sure.
mean that you're saying,
so
there is an inequity, and the way I feel isn't valid. It's just simply acknowledging that you're both a part of the relationship and you're both doing stuff. And that's important. And you appreciate what is being done. And what you're wanting to talk about is how can we talk about this topic? Because it's probably going to come up again and again in our relationship. And how
it just is. We get better at having it. So mm-hmm. I think it feels less like, oh, we didn't even really have to have that conversation. We kind of know what we mean. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think like almost as soon as a couple, us included, feel like, okay, mm-hmm. We're in a new stage, a new age. For us at this point, I feel like we spend a lot of events, weeknights, tournaments apart.
Yeah.
Like physically apart. So there is this like, how was your day?
Right.
Or even if we've been together at the same tournaments doing? All yeah. day long, it's not like we're like,
yeah,
hey, buddy.
Yeah.
But I just mean like it doesn't go away.
Right. Right. And so it's more of an acceptance that relationships do end up feeling one-sided. Oftentimes there is
an acknowledgement. I don't like the acceptance.
Well, I maybe we mean the same thing.
I think we do mean okay. the same thing. I think yeah. acceptance means like, for me, acceptance means like some defeat of like, so I just have to like
drop my bar and accept that
we are going to, I know.
I think
I know.
That's a mischaracterization of what that word means, like in just general. I think acceptance just from a standpoint of this is normal. This happens. This isn't bad. And the reason and the fact that it's a reality in our life just means that it's a reality in our life. How can we accept it, acknowledge it, and then move towards?
Yeah. I think acceptance without intention and movement and growth mm-hmm. and, you know, some sure. work doesn't sure. feel good. But acceptance right. is a part of movement. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're being a little nuanced well, about the words. Yeah.
They matter.
But yeah, so to be able to accept, acknowledge, and then be able to invite one another to have the conversation.
About what we need to be different.
About what we need to be different and not get in that criticize, defend cycle. I think the process that works. And I think that it can be... Again, like you were saying, Aaron, as simple as like, hey, I heard this conversation, you know, on a podcast, like, why, you know, like, what do you think? Like, it can be exploratory like that.
I think I was just thinking about this today. I was in doing an Instagram post, honestly, and writing the caption and thinking about a lot of times couples dread these types of mm-hmm. conversations and this type of work even because it feels like it's going to be heavy. It's going to be hard. We're yeah. going to fight a lot. And I think that there can be some heavy things talked about.
Sure.
And I think that there can be some conflict. I think it can sometimes even be heavy. But I don't yeah. think that has to be the like overall feel of these types of conversations. Yeah. I feel very much, especially the more comfortable we get being uncomfortable in them, I feel like we can really enjoy the conversations mm-hmm. even and own our own contribution. Like, I don't love saying that I can be critical and I can just dismiss anything that I feel like Stephen has yeah. done for us because there's that one thing that I'm stuck on.
Or that I can get defensive or that I can be critical.
Sure, sure. Stephen has said before, I can be very defensive, but that isn't our trend. He mm-hmm. doesn't tend to be the one who's coming at me. But it does mm-hmm. happen. I don't love that. But I can also acknowledge that because that's mostly not how we interact.
Well, yeah, but I think
I trust that we're both trying to not behave in those ways. I think we're both, right. I trust that we're both trying mm-hmm. to connect and move towards each other and our.
Well, I think the thing, like you said, like, yes, these can be hard conversations, but honestly, our whole little shtick, our whole little bit is that you can have these conversations in a way that feels collaborative and feels like you're a team and can help you and your partner feel connected and closer. And so that the courage to take the risk, to have the conversation, and then to have the conversation in a caring, loving manner actually brings your relationship to a point where you're like, oh, this thing that was making us not feel close actually is the thing that has helped bring us close. Are you and your partner wanting to have the kind of connective communication that we talked about in this podcast? Well, you can. And we have a great workshop that can help you both get started. So go to couplescounselingforparents.com and check out our Communication 101 workshop in our Workshops tab. This is a great workshop to help you and your partner learn some of the basic communication skills that you need to have these kinds of connective conversations. Or you can try out our membership, where you get access to all of our workshops and also our weekly worksheets that are a great tool to help you and your partner connect on a weekly basis. So again, go to couplescounselingforparents.com and check out our Communication 101 workshop or our membership. Today's show was produced by Aaron and Stephen Mitchell. If you're enjoying the podcast, please hit the follow button and leave us a rating. This helps our content become more visible to others who might enjoy it, and it lets us know how we can keep improving the show. And as always, we're grateful for you listening. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Couples Counseling for Parents. And remember, working on a healthy couple relationship is good parenting.